All right, I'll go ahead and get the meeting started then. Good evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of the City of Tucson Planning Commission. My name is Anna Cassidy, and I'm the chair of the Planning Commission. The responsibilities of this body are to advise the mayor and council and the Planning and Development Services Department on the adoption of long-range plans, policies, specific plans, and regulations that affect land use and development. Will staff call the roll, please?
Yes. Thank you, Chair Cassidy. Chair Cassidy.
Here.
Vice Chair Wella.
Here.
Commissioner Zagier.
Here.
Commissioner Martin.
Here.
Commissioner Pafford. Absent. Commissioner Young.
Here.
Commissioner Ortiz Pino.
Here.
Commissioner Schwartz.
Here.
Commissioner Waraque. Absent. Commissioner Lane. Absent. Commissioner McCancy.
Here.
And Commissioner Kinney.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Let's see. Can you still hear me okay? I'm having some technical difficulties.
Yep, we can.
Okay. So item number two is approval of the legal action report for February 15th, 2023. I noticed an error in there. It has me down as making the motion to approve the legal action minutes. That was actually Vice Chair Wellett who made that motion, so that needs to be corrected. Do any other commissioners see corrections that need to be made to the legal action report? Okay, I will entertain a motion for approval.
Chair Cassidy, I will go ahead and make a motion to approve with your correction there.
Thank you, Vice Chair Wellett. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I heard Commissioner Ortiz Pino second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Right, that motion passes. Item number three is the Sam Hughes Neighborhood Plan Update. Would staff please provide the presentation for item number three, Sam Hughes Neighborhood Plan Update?
Yep, good evening. My name is Lena Perel. I'm a planner with Planning and Development Services. I'm going to share my screen. Can everyone see my screen okay? Okay, great. So the Sam Hughes neighborhood has been working on a plan update for a few years now. So we're holding a study session today on the plan update or the proposed update. To just begin, in this whole update actually started in 2019. So the Sam Hughes Neighborhood Association formed a plan committee, a plan update committee to update the Sam Hughes neighborhood plan after they completed a plan assessment. The committee undertook a more detailed assessment of the Sam Hughes neighborhood plan to determine areas of focus for the update and had various outreach opportunities for the Sam Hughes neighborhood residents to provide their input. We have some of the committee members here tonight on Zoom. A little later on in the presentation, Gail Hartman, who is the chair of the plan update committee, will be presenting a little to discuss more on the neighborhood plan update timeline from their side and their public engagement efforts in more detail. So a completed draft was approved by the Neighborhood Association Board in October of 2020. After that, the committee reached out to and worked with PDSD planners on the development of the draft for formal city review. So, and Mayor and Council initiated the update of the Sam Hughes Neighborhood Plan on September 28th, 2021, at the request of the Sam Hughes Neighborhood Association. Some of the reasons for the update. So the neighborhood's objective was to address goals and policies that had been met and to maintain or update policies and goals that are relevant to current conditions and concerns. The latter primarily focused on land use and transportation, whose goals and policies are looked at closely by city staff and land use processes. And just a little background on the current Sam Hughes neighborhood plan. So mayor and council adopted the original Sam Hughes neighborhood plan on September 16th, 1985. Since then, the plan has been amended twice, once in March of 2001 per resolution 18868 for Rincon Market Village parking, and a second time in August of 2003 per resolution 19662 for the southeast corner of Campbell and 6th. The way that the plan is organized, it's kind of organized into three parts. So part one, which is the neighborhood plan, part two, which is neighborhood history, and part three, overview of the 1985 plan with the details of the goals that were met. Just a note that the part one, that neighborhood plan section, is the section of the plan that PDSD and city staff uses for land use decisions. That's where most of the land use, transportation goals, and policies, as well as a future land use map, are that are used in rezoning, special exceptions, and variances. For the Sam Hughes neighborhood plan and the Sam Hughes neighborhood itself, land use policy direction is provided by Plan Tucson and the University Area Plan. So the current Sam Hughes neighborhood plan is in compliance with the University Area Plan and Plan Tucson. So this update was done in accordance to also both of these plans to make sure it was in accordance to that. Now going into kind of the major updates from the 1985 plan to this proposed update. So there are updated goals and policies in the plan's transportation section. Many of the goals in the transportation section of the 1985 plan have been completed or needed to be updated in response to completed and or current transportation projects and neighborhood priorities. A second major update was a new section about the neighborhood's relationship with the University of Arizona. This section has been added primarily to provide the neighborhood guidance in working with the university. An updated land use section to include the Sunshine Mile Urban Overlay District was added. This section has the Urban Overlay District was adopted by Mayor and Council in September of 2021 and encompasses a section of the Sam Hughes neighborhood along Broadway. And then lastly, a future land use concept map has been created to replace the current office commercial development concept map, which I'll go into a little more detail on the next slide. So the future land use concept map has been created to follow current land use patterns in the neighborhood. For office, commercial, mixed use, multifamily residential, and single family residential uses. The future land use concept map also includes the Sunshine Mile Overlay District, including the mid-century sub-district. We included the current zoning map in the plan just to show that the update committee wanted the future land use concept to kind of reflect current land uses and current zoning of what's already existing in the neighborhood. Sam Hughes is primarily built out, so it's kind of just showing kind of what is already existing. The previous map for office and commercial mostly, again, just showed the office and commercial areas in town. So this one adds those different residential areas and areas for mixed use as well. Going with that future land use concept map, we created a definition list. So of these various land uses to provide additional clarity and context for allowable future uses and links to the Unified Development Code, standards that provide the allowable standards, including height and densities. So this, again, just shows kind of the equivalent zones that these different land use terms kind of go with our current code. Different members of the update committee wanted to make sure that if any neighborhood resident or anyone using the plan wanted to know the very specifics of what is allowed in these zones or what is allowed for development standards, that we provide links to our code that kind of outlines all of those. So for the city staff side, we see that this update is consistent with plan direction in both Plan Tucson and the University Area Plan. It allows for consistency with current city initiatives, projects, and land use tools. and it helps provide more clarity in land use decisions when dealing with rezoning, special exception, and variance cases. So I'm going to kind of pass the presentation over to Gail Hartman, again, the chair of the Neighborhood Plan Update Committee, to just talk a little more in detail about the Neighborhood Plan Update timeline, what they did to prepare this, and their public outreach efforts.
Hello, all. Can you hear me? I see a nodding person. Good. My name is Gail Hartman, and I am indeed the chair of the Sam Hughes Neighborhood Plan Update Committee, kind of cumbersome title. Thank you all for putting us on your agenda this evening. We appreciate it. I think several or perhaps all of our committee members are on. I'm not entirely sure of that because I can't see the names anymore, but they are Karima Sleeman, Mark Fink, who was a county planner, Madeline Cook, Mary Flipson, Marie Yonkers, and Meredith Alvarado. And I believe some of our neighborhood board members are on this evening and some other neighbors are on. I don't want to be too repetitive and go over things that Lena has already said. So I'll try to be brief and say that we began this in January of 2019 at our annual meeting when our neighborhood president at the time, Jim Head, suggested that it was time for a plan update, and we formed a committee and got to work. We were slowed down, as you might imagine, by COVID for about a year. And then we worked with the Rio Nuevo group for about a year. The southern edge of the Sam Hughes neighborhood is up next to Broadway. And we wanted to work out an arrangement there where existing buildings, churches and buildings of that sort, we'll be able to stay if once a building is no longer a church, we'd like to see that it stays. And so we came to an agreement where there would be a real effort on the city's part to keep the building standing, but different uses. They could have different uses such as restaurants and things of that sort. We've had four basically public meetings near the beginning. When we started this, we had two meetings at the Himmel Park Library. Then we had at our next annual meeting, and I guess that was 2020, maybe 2021, we brought the draft plan. We put up some big posters, asked people for their interests, concerns, topics, et cetera. And then we did that again at our annual meeting this year with a somewhat more finished project, and got some very good comments from members of the neighborhood. Of course, over the course of these few years, we've had a lot of interaction with city planning staff, especially Rebecca Roop, Lena Perel, and Corinne Manning, and we thank them all a great deal for the work that they did on our behalf. Other departments have weighed in, transportation and mobility, historic preservation, et cetera. So as Lena said, the focus of the plan from the city's part of the plan is, of course, land use and transportation. There's no surprise there. And I think what I'll do is just give you a few examples of things. And then if there are questions, of course, we're happy to answer them as best we can. The neighborhood is bounded by four major arterials, Campbell, Speedway, Country Club, and Broadway. Those all have commercial on all four of them, particularly on Speedway and Broadway. So we wanted to work to see that the homes that are right across alleys from those commercial developments remain, you know, as intact and as a good place to live, you know, as possible. And I think we did come up with some good solutions to that, to some potential problems there. And then on Broadway, are the south end of the neighborhood near Broadway. We, as I said, we came up with some ways to, we hope, keep the buildings that are there along Broadway still standing, but that they can be used for different purposes. Under the transportation and mobility section, there were obvious things like recommending more bus stops with shade, especially along 6th Street and Broadway, recommending more sidewalks. This neighborhood starts in the 1920s. We have a very patchy sidewalk network. So we inventoried all the sidewalks and prioritized trying to figure out the places that would be the most useful to fill in the blanks. And as I'm sure you all know, because we're close to the university, we are involved with the Park Tucson. We have to get permission to park on our own streets. Some of us live near the university, but that money comes back to the neighborhood. And so there is some money available to us through city transportation to provide sidewalks. And we're working on some of those issues right now. We are, of course, supporting new bicycle routes through the neighborhood. Treat Avenue just became a bicycle route. A third street had been our bicycle route for some years. And there is another one in the planning stages, 9th Street and 7th Street. We also had a section on conservation kinds of issues, encouraging the utilization of solar power, encouraging practices that support water conservation, curb cuts so that street trees can be watered with water that flows down the street rather than having to use a different method. I think, as Lena also mentioned, we included a chapter or section on the history of the neighborhood. The neighborhood's been around for a long time, and it has a fairly interesting history, and we thought neighbors particularly would find that interesting, particularly as new people move in. And then finally, we included a summary of that 1985 plan, showing the goals that had been met, and many goals from or recommendations from that plan had been met. And again, they largely had to do with transportation, the Third Street bicycle path and things of that sort. So it was clear that we needed an updated plan, and we received a lot of neighborhood support. We think this plan turned out to be certainly pretty good, in our opinion. And we look forward to your support. And of course, we will try to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Gail. So I guess if there are any questions, we can answer those. Otherwise, staff has a recommendation for the commission to set the Sam Hughes Neighborhood Plan update for a public hearing on April 5th, 2023.
Thank you, staff. I'll open this up now for any questions from the commission for either staff or the neighborhood representative. I see some hands up. I see Commissioner McKenzie. I'll let you go first.
Thank you. This is a question for staff. Does every neighborhood in Tucson have these kinds of neighborhood plans? Or do other neighborhoods have plans as sort of extensive as this one?
We can answer that. Thank you for the question, Commissioner McKenzie. Not every neighborhood has a neighborhood plan. We have both neighborhood and area plans. Neighborhood plans like this are specific to one neighborhood, whereas area plans cover multiple neighborhoods. So Lena mentioned the university area plan. So this is actually a case where Sam Hughes is within their own neighborhood plan, and they're also within an area plan that includes a number of neighborhoods. So not all neighborhoods have a plan like this. There's about 60 neighborhood and area plans across the city that have been adopted.
Thank you.
Hey, Commissioner Zagier. Commissioner Abreeza, do you have a question? I see your hand up.
I have a feeling Commissioner Zagier might be frozen right now.
Okay. Are there any other questions while she gets her computer issues worked out?
Chair Cassidy, I have a comment, I suppose, if I could.
Great, go ahead.
So I just want to congratulate, I suppose, the neighborhood and staff on getting this far. I know these things are very time consuming. So it is quite the accomplishment. So congratulations.
Thank you.
I lost internet connection. Did you call my raised hand by any chance?
I did. Go ahead. You can speak now.
Okay. So Sam Hughes is what about it's a square, one of our standard square miles. And around Sam Hughes, I was looking at the map they had provided, which was really interesting, of all the other neighborhood associations around there. I think this plan is great. Now is, well, this is probably a question for both Gail and Sam Hughes neighborhood. So is this kind of a, you're setting up a standard with this neighborhood, especially with its connection with the U of A and downtown in Rio Nuevo. With this type of neighborhood plan, are other neighborhoods in the area, because there's about 16 of them within a 6-mile area, able to use this as an example if something is happening within their neighborhood boundaries?
Should I try to respond to that? I
sure. Well,
I guess the simple answer is yes. And hi, Abreeza, nice to see you. neighborhoods around us do have plans, and we use some of them to help us figure out what we wanted to do. Miramonte, for instance, is one that we relied on, and others, Glenman Elm, et cetera. And I know some of those, I think West University right now is in the process of updating its plan. I think several other neighborhoods are as well. So they can certainly use ours if they want to. I did talk to somebody recently from Jefferson Park and sent them a copy. I said, don't use it yet because it's just a draft, but if you want to look at it, that's fine. And yeah, we would certainly be happy to have other people look at it. And there are, you know, there are other neighborhood plans out there that are just as good, if not better. So.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions or any other discussion the commission would like to have before we move on to a motion? All right. If there's no further discussion, I will call for a motion to set the Sam Hughes neighborhood plan update for a public hearing on April 5th.
I motion to set up a public hearing for Sam Hughes neighborhood plan on April 5th.
Thank you, Commissioner Zagier. Is there a second?
I'll second that, Chair Cassidy.
Thank you, Vice Chair Wellett. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor of recommending this item to Mayor and Council, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay.
Just to clarify, that was in favor of setting the item for a public hearing.
Yes. Yes. Okay, motion passes. I didn't hear any nay votes. The Sam Hughes neighborhood plan update is now set for a public hearing on April 5th, 2023. I will call for the next item, which is item number 4. Would staff please provide their presentation for item number 4, prohibition of ornamental turf UDC amendment?
Yeah, hi. Good evening, commissioners. Can you guys see the screen?
Yes.
Perfect. Good evening, commissioners. My name is Ian Wan. I'm a planner with Advanced Planning Department, Planning Development Service Department with the City of Tucson. Thank you for being with us tonight and your service on the commission. Let's get started. I'll be presenting item number 4, prohibition of ornamental turf, UDC amendment. Just to provide a little bit of a update of the process. This is a amendment in the UDC. It'll require review and recommendations from the Planning Commission before ultimate approval from Mayor and Council. Mayor and Council directed staff on October 18th, 2022 to move forward with the following code amendments related to water conservation. All of the items here are important, but some are more complex than others, requiring additional time and resources to complete. As you can see, the list has been organized by time and efforts needed to complete the processes, currently focusing on the first 3 items: prohibition of ornamental turf, require of water sense fixtures, requirement of separate meters for outdoor irrigation, low impact development standards, and net zero water. From here, staff requested to come back to Mayor and Council in 90 days, searched and a proposal for the prohibition of ornamental turf for new developments. During that 90-day period, Tucson Water PDSD staff conducted 4 outreach events consisting of in-person and virtual events. Various stakeholders attended. January 19th, 2023, Tucson Development Center stakeholder luncheon was conducted at the TCC. On the 23rd of January, a conservation and education subcommittee of Citizens Water Advisory Committee, known as CWAC. And then on the 24th of January, we present to the Metropolitan Team Alliance Public Policy Committee. On February 1st, Water Conservation Code Amendment State Meeting was held online virtually, openly publicized to the public through PDSD and Tucson Water's email stakeholder list, as well as social media. Overall support from stakeholders. There was overall support from stakeholders, with the most frequent clarification being that this amendment was only for new developments. The phasing out of existing turf will be led by Tucson Water, and we'll get into that at a slide. Staff returned on February 22nd to Mayor and Council with research and draft proposal for the prohibition of ornamental turf in new development. At this meeting, staff was directed to create a strategy to remove ornamental turf from existing developments by 2026. We also wanted to note that this was a code amendment was initially introduced as non-functional turf. As outreach was being conducted, we found the term of ornamental turf was more appropriate. In preparing for this amendment, we looked at other cities such as Buckeye and Las Vegas to review their current turf regulations. Specifically how we can incorporate what we see elsewhere into our current code. Prohibition of new ornamental turf we found was located in the UDC in section 7.6.4. It was tied to the Oasis allowance, and we'll go into the Oasis allowance on the next slide. And then also utilize the definition of functional turf from Arizona Municipal Water Users Association, AMWA. As mentioned, we ultimately ended up using the draft language from AMWA. What is AMWA? AMWA is the Arizona Municipal Water Association. It's an organization consisting of 10 large municipalities within Maricopa County. Mentioned before, we did quite a bit of research into communities, but the draft language from AMWA seemed to align best with the goals in the program and will be consistent with other municipalities in Arizona as more communities look to prohibit ornamental turf. It's also understood that this AMWA text was more restrictive than other prohibitions we looked at, such as Buckeye. So getting into the prohibition defining the ornamental turf, it's grass areas with any single dimension of 8 feet or less, grass areas exceeding a 4-to-1 or 25% slope. So that's associated to a lot of stormwater runoff. Grass areas that are not accessible by paved pathways and are restricted by physical barriers that prohibit accessibility. Grass areas installed closer than 10 feet to a street and or in front of entryways to residential neighborhoods or subdivisions where other recreational amenities do not exist. Grass areas that are not utilized for active or programmed recreational purposes and for drainage, conveyances, storm basins, or erosion control. As mentioned before, this was tied to the Oasis allowance. Because turf is currently allowed within the Oasis allowance, we did a review of the Oasis allowance to get an understanding of how it worked. We reviewed 50-plus commercial and multifamily projects for use of the Oasis allowance. None were found that used this Oasis allowance. So this portion of the code appears to no longer be used in development. And then looking at the definition of ornamental turf, this was a great example that we came across. An example along Golf Links Road shows what we're attempting to prohibit here in new development. This is turf area often found between sidewalks and parking lots separated by a wall here. You can see the sidewalk being watered more than the turf is, thus using a lot more water than we should be here right now. And then ultimately, this does not provide a safe place for recreation. So this is what we want to prohibit. All right, sorry about that. So what is not ornamental turf is the turf that is often associated with active recreation. Active recreation is defined as leisure activities usually performed with others, often requiring equipment and taking place at prescribed places or fields. The term active recreation includes, but is not limited to, swimming, tennis, and other court games, baseball and other field sports, golf and playground activities. So the proposed draft amendments to the UDC are, to add AMWA's definition of ornamental turf to section 7.6.4.D, use of turf, add restriction that only 50% of that oasis area may be utilized for turf, add new definition of active recreation to section 11.4.2 definition. Moving forward, staff recommends the Planning Commission approve a motion to set the prohibition of ornamental turf for a public hearing on April 5th, 2023. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, staff. I'll now open up the meeting for any questions from the Commission of staff related to the information presented.
I have my hand up.
Commissioner Martin, was that you?
Yes.
Go ahead.
It seemed like the last restriction in that list covers everything else in the list.
Is this the list you're referring about to?
The list of what's considered non-functional turf. The bottom one on the grass areas that are not utilized as active program recreation, doesn't that, that covers everything else on the list, doesn't it?
Commissioner Martin, just kind of related to that. I think you're right. Probably most things fall within the active and non-active recreation. With the AMWA definition, they also wanted to provide kind of additional clarity to tighten that up to make sure that it's very clear that things like grass areas with 8 feet or less, items with slope that can't be utilized are also a part of that. This is consistent with what we've seen utilized in Buckeye, in Las Vegas as well. So it's a pretty common kind of definition that we see of non-functional turf or ornamental turf.
Okay, just seemed like the last one took care of all those. So it's hard to have active recreation on 8 feet or less or slopes.
You could have a picnic. Lawn bowling.
You could have a picnic.
Commissioner Zagier, your hand is up.
Okay. So I was reading through this and so I'm glad you answered. I was confused with using two different terms of non-functional and ornamental turf, or non-functional ornamental turf. So this is putting in the oasis allowance. And so I have one thing. It says, the definition as far as outdoor or active, you're calling it active recreational areas. You're going to have to explain to me. I've yet to see turf inside a swimming pool. I'm thinking that water polo, maybe that's an activity, but it's not done on turf. So I'm wondering why swimming pools are included in this. Because when we get farther down in this whole process, requiring swimming pools to be covered, it's like, oh, well, no, that's a recreational area. We don't have to. That's one little issue I had with this. And also, let's go to part D down here. Three, functional turf. Let me read that attachment. Grass areas installed closer than 10 feet. Wait, 10 feet of a street or in front of an entryways. Wait a minute, I'm in the wrong place. I'm trying to find, here we go. D, number three, except as provided under section yada, 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 exceptions for rosacea limitation, functional turf areas. So we're going back to functional turf areas, or is that supposed to be ornamental turf? Areas are allowed only within an oasis and may only be 50% of the total oasis allowance. So I noticed he mentioned it before that nobody's using this anymore, but it's added down here in number three under D, use of turf. Maybe there a little explanation for that. Is it functional turf? Or is it ornamental turf in this section?
So Commissioner Zadir, there's like two things, right? There's the functional turf, which is basically active recreation.
Right.
That you have. And then you have ornamental turf, which is the one that's basically that picture on the right that's right there.
Right.
So those two things. So with this exception, this is kind of building it within our code. We've somewhat prohibited non-functional turf or ornamental turf for a long time. This is meant to kind of tighten that up. So basically it's saying that within an oasis area, if you meet one of the top exceptions, which is public parks and botanical gardens, outdoor recreation facilities for schools, that you would be able to potentially have an oasis area, and 50% of that could potentially be a functional turf or non-ornamental turf, essentially.
So in these areas that are larger than 8 feet square, basically, this would be maybe inside an apartment complex that has some barbecues out there, which will enable them to have a nice little grassy area where kids are playing and they can barbecue. Totally understand that. But I don't know if anybody's ever put in an irrigation system. So you have an 8 foot square surrounded by cement. Is having these small spaces. 8 foot square is actually pretty. Having small spaces irrigated the way they irrigate turf is really kind of wasteful in itself. So I'm just wondering, is maybe maybe even more stringent language as far as maybe non-continuous or enlarge the area. So it's, maybe 10 by 10 irrigation hasn't changed a lot over the years and it can foul up a lot. So I'm just throwing it out there is from what I've seen and some of the irrigation projects I've looked at or worked on. Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner McKenzie.
Yes. Thank you. What is the rationale for the, for 50% of the Oasis allowance areas? I mean, why not 30 or 70? I mean, what is it about 50?
So yeah, that is what we've seen utilized, I think, in the Buckeye example. So we basically based it on what we've seen elsewhere. One other thing I do want to mention is just the fact that we'll be looking at this further, but in a larger context when we are working on our low impact development standards. So this is shoring it up right now. So in the future, we can go through and look at it kind of more holistically. So we will, you know, this will give us an example, and then we can kind of look at that and make adjustments in the future if need be.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion or questions? Commissioner Zagier, your hand's back up.
So it's the little things. It's like it's the little things that confuse developers and owners and stuff. As you did provide a definition of maybe ornamental turf, as I didn't understand it, and then you mentioned functional turf. Is maybe defining that better in the language so it's not confusing might be helpful.
Commissioner Shigeru, yeah, I agree. We'll take another look at it and make sure that it's a little more clear to make sure that it's clear for developers, clear for reviewers, and for the public.
All right, thank you.
I don't see any other hands up. Does anybody else want to comment or ask a question on this? Okay, if not, I'll call for a motion to set the prohibition of ornamental turf UDC amendments for public hearing on April 5th, 2023. Anybody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. I motion that we set it for a public hearing on, what'd you say?
What was the date? It's April 5th, 2023.
April 5th, 2023.
I'll second.
And we have a second from Commissioner McKenzie. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay. Okay, motion passes. The prohibition of ornamental turf UDC amendment is now set for a public hearing on April 5th, 2023. Next item is item number 5. PDSD staff announcements. Would staff please provide any updates to the commission?
Sure. We have a couple updates. We are beginning our general plan outreach. As the Planning Commission is aware, we presented on this a few months ago, and just want to let you know that community workshops are underway. We have 6 workshops scheduled this coming, over the next month. We've held 2 so far, so 1 more to go. So please feel free to check those out on our website, information about those workshops, and spread the word. We have both virtual and in-person workshops, including a workshop this weekend at Udall Park. Ian, remind me of the time. Is it 10?
Correct, 10 to 12.
Yeah, so that's the next workshop this weekend at Udall Park. So please feel free to join those if you're interested in attending. Other than that, we continue to do training on our new permitting system, TDC Online. We're holding those trainings every other week for the public. And that's, I think those are our updates.
Thank you, staff. The next item is item number 6, future agenda items. Would staff please provide the commission with a preview of the upcoming future agenda items?
Sure. Thank you, Chair Cassidy. Yes. The 2 items that we've reviewed today with study sessions will be in front of you for public hearing. So we have the Sam Hughes Neighborhood Plan update and the Prohibition of Ornamental Turf UDC amendment. I did also want to just bring up that we are looking to have a kind of social hour with the Planning Commission. So some of the dates that we are looking at would be kind of Wednesdays in April. I think we're going to do the first meeting on the 5th, and then looking at either the 12th, the 19th, or the 26th for that. So just wanted to put it out there. And if you would And if you just kind of think about it and let me know what your availability might be, we can kind of get that scheduled. I'll be following up with an email for the next meeting. So I'll mention it again and just kind of let everyone know. But yeah, looking forward to meeting everyone in person. We have a lot of new members. And we've been doing this virtually for a while. So I think it'll be really good for us to kind of meet and greet each other. Commissioner Zagier.
So you went by the dates really fast, but will be sending that out into an email. Okay.
Yes, great. Most definitely. It just to reiterate, it April 12th, April 19th, and April 26th are the three dates we're currently looking at.
Okay. Thank you.
I just want to bring one other thing up. We were just notified that the April 5th is the first day of Passover. So that's the date that was just selected for or scheduled for the two items to hold a public hearing with Planning Commission, but we were not aware of that date. So wanted to bring that up to the chair and see if you would like to look for other dates to hold that public hearing.
I think that's a good idea, just to make sure that members of the community who might be celebrating Passover are able to attend. So how do you want to handle that since the motions have been made?
I think in the past, we've just had Planning Commission set the next available Planning Commission meeting as the date for that hearing. And then we can do a doodle poll and make sure we have a date where we will get quorum in April. Would that work?
Yes.
Great. So probably looking at those dates that Dan just mentioned. So we may have to push back the happy hour, but we'll look at the other Wednesdays, including the alternate date in April.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. Any other future agenda item news from staff? All right, then moving along to item number 7 is the call to the audience. At this time, I'd like to offer the public an opportunity to speak on any subject that is not listed on the current agenda as a public hearing. If anyone would like to speak, please raise your hand or speak up to let us know. Okay, seeing no hands and hearing no voices, I will call for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Chair Cassidy, I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting this evening.
I'll second it.
Everybody wants to second. Who was the second?
I think I was the first one. But...
All right. So we have a motion by Vice Chair Wellett and a second by Commissioner Martin. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. All right, motion carries and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks everyone.
Good night.